Hello, friend. I'm glad you stopped by today. This is a great day. This is an exciting day, an exciting time that we live in. And God is doing wonderful, powerful things to those who are listening for His voice and responding to His voice. Now, friend, if you have your Bible, I want to ask you to open it to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And while you do that, I want to pray for us. Father, I pray that you speak to us today about a baby that came and a baby that changed everything. Changed everything that we know, changed the course of history, changed the hope of the nations in the world. Father, would you speak to us about the sending of your Son Jesus into this world, into our life? And Holy Spirit, would you work a new work within us? I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, if you have your Bible open, Galatians chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading with verse 4. It says this, "But when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. And because you Gentiles have become His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, and now you can call God your dear Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, everything He has belongs to you." Let me tell you something, friends. A baby, the birth of a baby can change everything. At 3 o'clock in the morning, the young wife shakes her husband awake, telling him to check on the newborn baby. He sits up like most men do, just for a minute. He listens before he protests, but I don't hear her crying. "I know," she says. "And it's your turn to get up to see why not." A baby changes a lot of things. A baby can change your sleeping habits. After you bring that home, that bundle of joy, your life will almost certainly get noisier. Grocery shopping will be a little different for you as you discover how many different kinds of formula and food are available. You'll learn what food makes your little junior smile and what foods produce more unpleasant reactions. And if you're wise, you'll childproof your home. With time, you'll be able to tell if her tears are tears of pain or tears of anger or frustration. The birth of a baby brings some big changes in your life. Christmas is the celebration of the birth of a baby who changed everything. He not only made a big difference in his own home, but a big difference in the whole world. His birth was meant to change everything for you too. And I want to talk to you today about the birth of Jesus Christ and how His birth can change your life. We just read those verses in Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And I want to talk about the three things that changes that Christmas can bring into your life. Here's the first one. The birth of Christ changed history. Did you hear that? Right away in verse 4, it says, "But when the right time came," or when the fullness of time had come. You see, the world we live in is shaped by the past. You and I live in America because an explorer named Christopher Columbus discovered the New World, and he opened a door for European settlers, our ancestors, to make their home here. Now, I don't speak French or Spanish. Maybe you don't speak French or Spanish because the British, who spoke English, they colonized most of North America. You and I live in a republic because our forefathers fought and died, and soldiers since have fought and died to preserve our freedom. The world today was shaped by many events from the past, but no event has changed the world as much as the birth of Jesus Christ in the manger of Bethlehem. So what are some changes His birth produced? Well, the most obvious change you see every time you check the expiration date on your milk or write out a check or sign a legal document, you need to know what year it is. Where does that number from the year come from? Well, it comes from the birth of Christ. Some still use the term B.C., before Christ, and A.D., Latin for Anno Domini, the year of the Lord, to outline history. They're trying to change that now to get rid of Christ's name by calling it BCE, or before the common era, and ACE, after the common era. One thing nobody can deny: all of human history is divided by his entrance into this world. But how would the world have been different if he had not been born in the fullness of time, at just the right time? See, remove every reference from Christ, every reference to Christ from the world's greatest literature, and the library will almost be empty. Erase from every great painting or statue any work which includes Christ, and you don't have much art left to appreciate. Close down all the great colleges originally founded to train preachers of the gospel, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and you eliminate some of our greatest seats of learning. Christianity, with all of its failures and all of its faults, has been one of the most powerful forces in all history. But if Christ was never born, human history would be a very different story today. But Christ was born, Paul declares, at just the right time, right on schedule, according to the plan mapped out before creation. God sent his Son to be born into this world. His birth changed human history. But he wants to do more. He wants to change your history. He wants to draw a line separating BC from AD in your life. He wants to transform everything in your history. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." Christ's birth changed human history, but Christ's entrance into your life will change your history. When Christ enters your life, he changes your direction. A Christian is a person who is no longer chasing after sin, but pursuing righteousness. He's following Christ, following his plan for their lives. He changes our desires. A Christian who wants to please God, he or she may struggle with sinful desires, but their ultimate desire is to live worthy of the Lord. Even when they fail, a Christian wants to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to do better for Jesus' sake. He changes our destiny. When Christ enters your life, he doesn't erase the past, but he changes how you relate to your past, changes how you live in your present, and changes your hopes and goals for the future. And this is how Christ can change your history. Have you experienced that change? You might be a good person or even a religious person, but if you've never personally invited Jesus Christ to enter your life and change you, you're missing out on the most important change a person can experience. Robert C. Shannon writes, "Always the adoption of Christianity is a turning point for nations, for civilization, for individuals. The birth of Jesus Christ truly is a turning point in human history. He wants to be a turning point in your history." Paul goes on to describe two of the most radical changes Christ will bring into your lives. The birth of Christ can change your relationship with God. See, in one sentence, how would you describe your relationship with God? Just stop and think about that for just a minute. The default setting for most of us is everything is okay between me and God. Why wouldn't everything be okay between me and God? When Jesus begins his preaching, he begins by calling everybody to make a change. Repent is the word. Change your mind, change your life, not from the outside, but from the inside. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Both Christ and the Apostle Paul preached that everybody needs a fundamental change in their relationship with God. Paul uses two words to explain the change that Jesus was born to bring. First was redemption. He says, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. Now, I want you to know the word redemption entails two ideas. The first is to purchase and then to liberate. When you redeem a coupon for, a free dinner, you're using that coupon to buy something. Paul's idea of redemption comes from the slave market of the ancient world. People became slaves in those days for a variety of reasons, but they were basically the two ways a slave found freedom. Either his master simply freed him, or else somebody redeemed him. They paid the price for him to be set free. Okay, you can say, yeah, Pastor Mark, now I understand the concept, but what does that have to do with me? I'm not a slave. I've never been in slavery. Nobody's my master. Jesus has a different opinion. It's in John 8:34. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Have you ever committed sin? Have you ever done wrong, knowing that you are doing wrong? Jesus says you're a slave to sin. You're a slave to sin's penalty. That's called guilt. You're a slave to sin's power. You do wrong even when you mean to do right. You're a slave to sin's destiny. Ezekiel 18 verse 20 says, the soul who sins is the one who will die. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. See, here's the real downer. You can't free yourself from sin. You can't free yourself from your guilt. You can't deny it, try to forget it, but it won't go away. You cannot free yourself from sin's power, no matter how much, how hard you try to reform. You can't get loose from its grip. There's no way you, by yourself, can escape sin's destiny. Okay, one little more bit of bad news. Sin ruins your relationship with God. See, God is holy. He hates sin. And as long as you and I are slaves to sin, our relationship with God is ruined. But here's the good news. The good news is a baby born in Bethlehem's manger can redeem you and me from sin. He's fully human, born of a woman, just as you were. He was born under the law. That is, he was subject to God's demand for perfect obedience. The big difference is he kept God's law perfectly because he was not a slave to sin, because he was free. He could pay the price for your freedom. His death on a cruel cross did just that. He was born to die, to redeem you from sin, to offer you a not guilty verdict before a holy God, to set you free from guilt, from defeat, from eternal death. Jesus puts it this way in John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. But see, Jesus was not born just to free you from slavery. God wants more than that in your relationship with him. Jesus was also born to change your relationship with God through adoption. Now, that we might receive the adoption as sons, but buy a slave, set him free, and you go your way and he goes your way. But God freed us from slavery to make us his sons and daughters. He sent Jesus not just to take off our chains, but to adopt us into his family. Bruce Barton wrote this: in Roman culture, a wealthy man could take a slave and make that slave his child and heir. The adopted person was no longer a slave. He became a full heir, guaranteed all legal rights to his father's property. He was not a second-class son. He was equal to all other sons in his father's family. That person's origin or past was no longer a factor in his legal standing. See, Jesus wasn't born just to set you free, but to set your place at God's table, to welcome you home to a new family, to make you a beloved child of God. The Son of God became man to enable men to become the sons of God. That's what C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity. How would you describe your relationship with God right now? Maybe you're not sure how to answer that question. You try to live right, stay out of trouble, do your best that you can, but I'm going to tell you that's not enough. Or is it enough? Could there be some changes that need to be made for you to be sure where you stand with the Lord? Jesus Christ was born to change your relationship with God. He came to earth to redeem you, to set you free from the guilt of your sins, from the power of sin, from the penalty of your sins. His redemption makes it possible for you to become a beloved child of God, to give up trying to earn your way into heaven, but to enjoy life as a child of God. Gerald Penix writes this: My wife and I waited 15 years for a child before we decided to adopt a boy. as we stood before the judge, as he told us, from today on, he is your son. He may disappoint you, even grieve you, but he is your son. Everything you own one day will be his, and he will bear your name. Then he looked to the clerk and gave this command. So order a change in the child's birth certificate, and it may reflect that these are the parents of the child. Jesus came to earth to do this for you and for me in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. But it's one thing to know this in your mind. It's another thing to be sure of it in your heart. And that's why Paul adds one more area where the birth of Christ can change your life. The birth of Christ, here's the third one, the birth of Christ can change your experience with God. Joan of Arc was a deeply religious French peasant girl who victoriously led the armies of France against the armies of England during the 100 Years' War. She claimed to be guided by the voice of God, and when she was captured by the English, one of the soldiers mocked her by saying, "She says she hears God's voice." "Why, I don't hear his voice." To which Joan of Arc is said to have replied, "But you don't wish you did." "No, Joan, I'm not sure I want to hear voices. I've read about times when people heard God's voice, and it's pretty scary, and yet in some way, I do want to connect personally with God. I want to experience with God in a real way, not just in my mind, but in my heart." And that, Paul says, is one of the reasons Jesus Christ was born into this world. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." See, when you're redeemed and you're adopted into God's family, He sends His Spirit to inhabit your heart and your mind and your will. And He gives the assurance in your heart you are a child of God. The assurance that dares to call God Abba, Papa, Daddy. Family words cried out by a child in joy or fear or love. That's the kind of relationship Jesus came to enable you to experience with God. The secure, warm love between a father and his child. Live that way, Paul warns in verse 7. Don't go on living like a slave. Live like a child, loved and treasured by your Heavenly Father. Don't keep trying to earn your way into his heart. Don't keep living like a slave. Live like his child. My friend, Jesus came to this earth to make that kind of relationship with God possible. Is it really possible? Do you really believe it's possible to live so sure of God's love for you, so certain of His acceptance? He came to be Emmanuel, God with us, in a way more real than we could ever imagine. That, Paul says, is the change the birth of Jesus Christ came to make in your heart and in your life. Did you ever read Bret Harte's book, The Luck of a Roaring Camp? Roaring Camp was, according to the story, the meanest, toughest, mean mining town in the West, inhabited entirely by men, and one woman who tried to serve them all named Cherokee Sol. One day, Cherokee Sol dies as she gives birth to a baby girl, and the men take the baby and put her in a box with some old rags under her. But they decide that doesn't look right, so they send one man about 80 miles to buy a rosewood cradle. He brings it back. They put the rags and the baby in the rosewood cradle, but it still doesn't look right. So they send another man to Sacramento who comes back with beautiful silk and lace blankets. Now it looks fine until someone notices the floor is so filthy. So these hardened, tough men get down on their hands and knees, scrubbing the floor clean. That makes the walls and the ceiling and the dirty windows without curtains look absolutely terrible. So they wash the walls and the ceiling and they put curtains on the windows. And when they finally get things looking better, their behavior starts to change. They give up lots of their fighting because babies can't sleep during brawls. And they watch their words when she starts learning to speak because they don't want to teach her bad language. And the whole temperature at Roaring Camp seems to go down. They take the baby out and they set her by the entrance to the mine in her rosewood cradle so that they could see her when they came up. And when somebody notices what a dirty place this is, they plant flowers and a very nice garden there. It looks quite beautiful. They would bring her shiny little stones and things they find in the mine until they would put their hands down next to her. Their hands looked so dirty. And pretty soon the general store was all sold out of soap and shaving gear. And what changed Roaring Camp? A baby. That baby changed everything. Can the birth of Jesus Christ change everything for you? You'll never know the answer to that question unless you come to Him and ask Him to change your history, change your relationship with God, change your experience with God. This is His invitation to you today. Come to Him, believe, and see for yourself how Christmas and the birth of a baby changes everything.